Today, my guest on Practical Security is Ben Gilbert. Ben Gilbert is the cybersecurity advisor in the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency at the Department of Homeland Security. He supports the Cybersecurity Advisor, or CSA, program and CISA's mission through the goal of strengthening the security, reliability, and resilience of the nation's critical cyber infrastructure, and serves in this role across the states of Virginia and West Virginia, as well as the District of Columbia. Ben Gilbert, welcome to Practical Security, and thank you for joining me today in this really important and timely conversation.
Thank you very much for having me, Beverly.
So let's jump right in. Briefly, tell our audience about DHS CISA and your role with the agency.
Yeah, so the Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency is the newest agency in the federal government. The previous administration signed off on the CISA 2018 Act, which formed us as that newest agency in the federal government under the Department of Homeland Security. Our mission, simply but broadly, to understand and manage risks to our nation's critical infrastructure. Now, these are risks such as a risk of terrorism, risk of insider threat, risk of pandemics, such as the one we're in now, risk of natural disasters, and of course, risk of cyber attacks. And it's for this reason that we are often coined as the nation's risk advisor. Specific to the cybersecurity risks, we have been charged with essentially securing the federal.gov space and working with federal departments and agencies to do so. We've been also working collaboratively and voluntarily with state and local governments, as well as private sector industry, to help to secure and safeguard against those various cyber threats that are out there. Now, a way that CISA does this is CISA is structured in part in a regional presence across the country, similarly to how FEMA is structured. And we have a number of support staff and a number of operational staff within each region that serve as basically the boots on the ground, face-to-face touch point to CISA and all of the resources that we can bring to bear. I am one of those cybersecurity advisors that is a part of that operational force within this region, which comprises Virginia, DC, West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. And apart from essentially being that boots on the ground touch point to CISA and our resources, I also have the responsibility and duty of working in an advisory capacity to public and private sector organizations to help them to understand how they can strengthen and secure their cybersecurity capabilities and their cybersecurity posture.
That is a mammoth mission.
It really is.
Now, the word of the day is ransomware.
Yes.
I mean, we have not gone a couple of days without hearing about some sort of ransomware attack. Can you speak to this and CISA's role in protecting us from ransomware?
Yeah, so Beverly, it's important to understand that the rise in ransomware has been really occurring over the past few years. And only until more recently have we started to hear about the ransomware threat actors' tactics pivoting to also include threatening to release sensitive company information or sensitive client information out to public or to data leak sites. Also, the threat actors have been also pivoting to actively reach out and alert the media before that organization has had a chance to do so. And so this is in part why we're starting to hear a lot of this. Obviously, you know, a lot of these threat actors have become a bit more bold, asking for larger ransoms, which is also elevating this in the news recently, too. It's also important to note, too, that when it comes to dealing with ransomware, once that full scope of impact has been assessed, ransomware is largely a recovery effort from that point, and it often includes a complete teardown and rebuild of any system that is impacted. And it's for this reason that everything that company has done beforehand to help to prepare and protect really weighs in and depends on how effectively and successfully they are able to recover from that ransomware attack. And it's this reason that CISA has put such an effort and a focus in helping organizations to prepare and protect and prevent, try to prevent ransomware attacks occurring before they actually occur. Now, as the nation's risk advisor, we recognize ransomware as one of the top cyber threats that are out there to our critical infrastructure. And one approach we are taking toward this is building very collaborative partnerships with all levels of government, as well as private sector, and even internationally, to help to protect against ransomware that's out there. For example, CISA has issued a number of joint advisory alerts over the past couple of years, really warning different industries and sectors that are out there that they could be a potential target to ransomware attacks out there. This is also why we have that regional presence across the country to help to collaborate at a local level with these different organizations.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Dave, you are so quiet. And normally what I say at the top of the hour when you are with me in the studio is I vigorously let folks know that my co-host today is Dave Jordan. And I did not do that. So joining me in the studio as well is Dave Jordan, who is my co-host today as we interview Benjamin Gilbert from DHS's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency as we talk about all things cyber and specifically ransomware. Dave, jump in.
Hey, thanks very much. And I wasn't late. I want the audience to know I was actually here. but that's a good, that would be a good cover for the next time. So Ben, tell us if you can, if there is such a thing as protection like we do for COVID. We get our shots, we stay 6 feet apart, we wear our masks, we do those things and we have a 90% or better chance of preventing the infection. So can we do a similar thing for corporations and agencies when it comes to ransom prevention, ransom attack prevention, or you know, I guess it's an offense kind of.
Yeah. So specific to the federal COVID response effort that we've seen over the past year and a half, I guess, or so, that federal COVID response effort has been one of the largest, frankly, interagency efforts for the past several decades. And CISA has worked with across the different regions, CISA has worked very closely and collaboratively with the FBI, with the Department of Health and Human Services, with the Department of Defense and other federal and state agencies out there in an effort to help to safeguard and secure the development and manufacturing and delivery of the COVID vaccine that's out there. And so we are actually taking kind of a similar approach to that, specific to dealing with ransomware and combating ransomware. We've been partnering with a number of the different sector risk management agencies that are out there, as well as with FBI and other federal and state agencies. Again, in a collaborative manner, kind of almost like, as you can imagine, a tiger team approach, so to speak. One example of this is actually last week, our new director, Director Easterly, announced the launch of our Joint Cyber Defense Collaborative, which is an effort in working with public and private sector on developing national cyber defense plans across the country to help organizations to protect against things such as ransomware or other cyber attacks. Also, last month, CISA launched the StopRansomware.gov website that helps to consolidate a lot of the federal resources that are out there. Back in June, CISA released the Ransomware Readiness Assessment, which is a module in one of CISA's assessments that we offer. It's a standalone cybersecurity assessment called the Cybersecurity Evaluations Tool. And it's a free, downloadable self-assessment. Any organization can download it free of charge. It doesn't do scanning or anything like that. It just allows organizations to assess against a particular standard or industry standards that are out there. And we actually built in a ransomware readiness assessment as a module in the latest version of CSET. Also, back in January, we launched the ransomware awareness campaign, which we've been working with and partnering with a number of different nonprofits and K-12 schools to help to raise awareness of ransomware. And then late last year, actually, we launched a ransomware guide that helps basically any organization to understand what ransomware is, why it's such a threat to their operations and their organization, and what they should be doing to respond against a ransomware attack.
So if I'm a pipeline operator and I'm pumping critical infrastructure product.
Yep.
Is there a punch list that I can go to the website and look at and say, for example, I see there's a checkbox here that says, you know, store your data offline, you know, in a secure facility, encrypted. Is it that straightforward for these operators who really, you know, data and IT was an afterthought for their business?
Yeah, there really is. And that's I guess what's the most frustrating thing for security practitioners out there is that a lot of these practices, these things organizations can be doing, these are really basic things. Basic in the sense of cyber hygiene equivalent to, you know, basic nutrition, your meats and vegetables and fruits and grains and dairy products. These are basic things every organization should be or ought to be doing.
So if I did those basics, would my chances of repelling a ransomware attack be pretty high?
Yes, but it's important to note too that there's really about 20 to 30 different, I'd say, basic things that are out there, and a lot of these are, you know, captured on a number of different security practitioner websites that are out there. CISA has a number of these different basic practices that are up on our website that organizations really should be or ought to be striving to do. But it's important to note that actually not doing some of these basic things actually increases the risk of becoming a victim of the ransomware or another cyber attack.
Oh, wow. I remember when HIPAA came out, and all of a sudden there was a flurry of companies popping up that were doing education and training about the new regulation, and everybody was signing up to get these folks in to train their people and get their systems up to date.
Yep.
Do you expect there'll be a similar flurry, maybe focused on better cyber for critical infrastructure?
I can't really speak to that, but what I would definitely speak, you know, specific to, you know, any type of, you know, additional regulation that comes out or anything of that sort, but, you know, certainly can speak to a lot of the, you know, those basic best practices that we see. We want to be able to really advocate for and push organizations to be able to start doing these basic things.
Wonderful. So we have told our audience, our listeners, the resources, many of the resources that are available to them. How can they find CISA on the web?
Yeah. So first thing, come visit us at CISA.gov and also stopransomware.gov. There is, frankly, a ton of information on our websites relating to different advisory alerts and different CISA insights that we've pushed out, advising on different critical vulnerabilities and different threats that we're seeing out there. We have 10 different no-cost cybersecurity assessments ranging from various strategic and tactical and technical levels. All of that information is available on how to contact us for those different assessments. We offer a number of different training opportunities and online training website or training modules, so to speak, on our website. CISA has an exercises team that helps organizations to conduct and moderate and facilitate a number of different tabletop exercises. And also on our website is information on how to report cyber incidents to CISA.
I'm actually looking at the website now, and there is a host of resources. I'm looking at training, how to address the threat of ransomware attacks, incident response training series, cybersecurity training series.
While you're on there too, click on the About section and learn about how to actually contact the regents.
Okay, wonderful. So again, free, your tax dollars at work.
Yep.
In a good way.
It's a great way. probably some of the best spent dollars.
Absolutely.
I was just thinking as you went through that list of benefits there of the website, that between the three of us, there's probably more than 60 years of experience here.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, well, mostly I'll carry the brunt of it because you two are really young.
Thank you, Dave.
I don't feel that.
Well, it's a taxing task that you have there. But so you know, this is you talked earlier about the frustration of this work. When you hear the CEO of a company say we've done everything we can to secure ourselves, and yet they're the victim of ransomware, and yet the three of us know that if you just do the basics, you've got a very good offense.
Yep.
So it's sort of an There's no, there doesn't seem to be, like we did have with HIPAA, there is no regulation over what critical infrastructure companies should be doing relative to cyber protection. And I wonder if, have you come by or heard of any efforts up in Capitol Hill, for example, where maybe they're starting to look at imposing some minimum standards? I mean, remember back in the Kennedy administration, he had a committee for critical infrastructure, and the CEOs or the presidents of those companies would tune in, I think almost monthly, where they would discuss at executive level the kinds of things that critical infrastructure providers should be aware of operating in the U.S. I don't even know if that group is still intact or exists anymore, but have you heard any word about whether something like that may be fired up again so we can start pulling in these critical infrastructure service providers and better ensure that they're more prepared so we don't have negative impacts to the citizenry?
Yeah, so I know there are a number of discussions going on right now. Unfortunately, I'm not a part of those discussions, and I can't really speak to a lot of what is being discussed in the administration at that level. But again, focusing on encouraging organizations to do with a lot of these basic practices that are out there is really something we're striving to accomplish with a lot of this. For instance, reporting, cyber incident reporting, and what that looks like, and who you contact when going through a cyber incident, you know, whether you're not contacting FBI or whether you're contacting CISA, you know, what have you. It's important to just reach out, though, and contact us to let us know that you are becoming a victim of a ransomware attack or another cyber attack. And this is not just for the purposes of requesting response assistance. It's really for the purpose of also helping us to understand that common operational picture. As I mentioned earlier, you know, CISA is in the business of understanding cyber risk. And we can't really do that if we are not able to get the information from a lot of these companies that are experiencing these cyber attacks. So really important to let us know what's going on so that we can then help inform other potential industries or organizations out there that they could be a potential target.
You know, that is a good segue. Is there a reporting requirement for organizations who have been breached or think they may be under attack?
So we strongly encourage organizations to report. Again, reporting to either FBI or to CISA. If the organization has a relationship already built with their local FBI field office, you know, report it to them. If the organization already has a strong relationship with their cybersecurity advisor in the area or within the region, you know, report it to them or, you know, contact CISA Central directly. Again, for, you know, a number of the reasons that I listed, there are some regulatory agencies that are out there that if you're an organization that has to comply with a regulatory requirement, there are some requirements that they do need to report those cyber incidents, you know, within, you know, 24 or 48 or 72 hours or what have you that are out there. And they have, you know, it's important for them to understand what those reporting requirements are.
So if an organization then reports to a regulatory agency which governs them, does that agency then share that data with CISA?
So I can't speak to what exactly that agency is going to do on that behalf, but I will say that we do work very closely with a number of the different federal government agencies that are out there.
Okay, very good. So that's encouraging.
How about state?
Yes,
let's talk about what state does, like, and use it, Virginia as an example, since a lot of our listeners will be curious about that.
Yeah, so we have very strong partnerships with a number of different states across the country, to include the Commonwealth of Virginia. And there's a number of activities we have supported, both at state levels, state government levels, as well as local government levels. For instance, over the past 5 years, we've worked closely with the Virginia Department of Elections in supporting a number of different cybersecurity workshops they've hosted, as well as a number of cybersecurity exercises. And we've also helped support on-site and remote support coordination efforts during elections. We also have been working directly with the Commonwealth's Cybersecurity Working Group, as well as other local governments and government leaders across the Commonwealth to help to further strengthen their cybersecurity capabilities.
Wonderful. Now, I see that CISA also works in conjunction with the MSISAC.
Yes.
The Multi-State Information Sharing and Analysis Centers.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that relationship?
Yes. Yeah, so the Department of Homeland Security does fund a lot of the MSISAC's operations. We have a very close and very strong partnership with them, actually on our watch floor at CISA Central. We do have MSISAC liaison officers on the watch floor where they can help share related information to us, as well as us relay information back to them. MSISAC also has their own security operations center, and because MSISAC is positioned to allow state and local government organizations to report cyber incidents to them, they can act as that kind of remote, 24/7 remote security operations center, so to speak, to help state and local governments respond to cyber attacks.
I think I remember they actually accept data and will do analysis for people that are
yes.
asking for assistance. That's really excellent. And I don't know if CISA does that as well.
Yeah, we do actually. We have a part of our operations. We have a 24/7 malware analysis lab where organizations could submit samples of malware to us, and we have a portal on our website in a secure manner that allows organizations to submit those samples to us for that analysis.
Excellent. I know in the past we could get help as a local government in Arlington, for example, and have the guys come in for a couple of weeks and do a thorough scrubbing of what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong as a local government. Has CISA expanded that to corporations?
So are you talking like assessments?
Yes.
And things? Yeah, absolutely. We, as I mentioned, we have, I think now like 10 different cybersecurity assessments. They range from very strategic and tactical levels. They are all offered to not just state and local governments, but they're also offered to private sector organizations that are out there as well. Now, I'll caveat that to say, though, that some of those assessments, from our standpoint, are very resource intensive. And so some of the assessments, there is a significant, waiting period, so to speak, or a wait list, so to speak, for some of the more technical and laborious assessments that we have. So it really depends on the availability and when those assessments can be conducted, but they are all available to both public and private sector.
Do you think if I'm a critical infrastructure provider that you might move me up the list?
So I will tell you that depending on the assessment, depending on a number of different variables, depending on national level priorities. For instance, with one of the assessments we have, which is called the risk and vulnerability assessment, which is basically a 2-week penetration test. Again, no cost. First week is spent remotely, seeing how far we can get into that organization's networks. And the second week will actually come out on site. Well, pre-COVID. Post-COVID, we have a couple different options, but ideally we would actually come out on site and see how far we can move laterally throughout those networks. So as you can imagine, that's pretty resource intensive. And, for that particular assessment, we say it's just probably roughly about a 1-year wait list for something
wow.
such as that.
Wow.
But it fluctuates depending on national level priorities. So it could be, several months sooner, or it could be several months beyond that. Depending on what those national level priorities are, depending on what CISA's priorities are. For instance, election security was the top priority for CISA last year, in addition to the COVID response. So oftentimes elections offices, they would be kind of bumped up on the list.
Sure.
State or for instance, organizations with what we call industrial control systems or SCADA equipment, organizations that have that operational technology that are, part of, for instance, lifeline sectors like water utilities or pipelines, so to speak, they get bumped on the list because they're higher in priority to that. But it depends.
I hear you. Let me ask you this question, because our listeners, this is Practical Security Radio, so Can we give them a couple examples of how ransomware attacks have been successful? How did the guys get where they want to go? Is it an email? Is it a phone call? Is it through third-party software that the users are implemented in their network? Can you give us a few examples like that?
Yeah, so I would say not just focusing on ransomware, because ransomware is basically the end result of a cyber attack. But I will say, generally speaking, most cyber attacks, you know, whether it's, you know, an advanced persistent threat actor, APT actor, whether it's, you know, just a criminal organization, you know, carrying out a ransomware attack, whether it's just some, you know, hacktivist group or what have you, most cyber attacks generally follow a similar approach and methodology, which, you know, almost always starts with open source research and reconnaissance on that organization, learning about as much as that threat actor can learn about that organization that they're trying to target, which includes going on social networking sites to learn about their employees, what role they have within that organization, what type of access they might have in that organization. And once they gather enough of that information,